a couple of quick things. You hear me all right? A couple of quick things is I saw a couple of beautiful girls walk in that just took my breath away when they walked in. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but they're at the back. One of the lovely things about becoming an old minister is you christen a baby and you blink, and then this glorious, breathtaking woman walks in. Wow, is all I can say. I think your mum and dad must be fairly proud. Also, I want to say thank you to John, because I don't fix anything technical in our house. Everything that's to be fixed, Robin fixes. I shouldn't probably confess that out loud, but even light globes, anything at all that's technical, it's her.
Over to you, Robin.
She actually once gave me a curling wand. Do you know what that is? And she said, I need to get this screw into this little hole at the bottom of this tube so that I can do a nut up on it. And I said, that's right, I got it. I spent an hour getting a screw, dropping it down the cylinder, and of course it never went through the hole. And Robin saw me after a while and went, oh, you idiot, and got a piece of paper, formed it into a comb, put it down the tube, dropped the screw in and did it up. So I don't do technical stuff. And for some time the lights in our table here have been out, and thank God John just saw it and fixed it. This is our screaming Jesus in here, and he's carved out of one piece of wood, which one of the bikies up here, I wanted an image that would show Jesus in pain, because the message is love might be free, but it's not cheap. And so this screaming Jesus hides, been hiding for quite some time in the darkness of this table, and now the lights are on again. Thank you, John. The power of the unbroken world of Monday morning, I'm stealing Julian's language. Julian talks to me about the world of Sunday and the world of Monday morning. The power of Monday morning to dominate everything, and the fragility of the Sunday revelation. It just lasts a minute. Sometimes we can walk in here having worried about Social Security robo debts and everything that we worry about, and we can sing one of our songs, There Is None Like You. Sometimes. And the Bromwellness of God can hit me. Do you know what I mean? There are times when the heavens are torn open and God says, you are my beloved, I am pleased with you. They're rare, but they happen. Mostly we live in the power of Sunday morning. Get things done. It's not bad. It's not bad. We all have to do business. We all have to make a living, we all have to get the car washed, blah, blah, blah. But my God, the need for and the fragility of that odd revelation where the heavens are torn open and suddenly you know that you are the child of God. I have to confess to you that quite often and in my life, there are many times when I might meet you, but it seems like the more I meet you, the more I'm bound in me. Do you know what I'm saying? And I might meet Lisa and I might meet John and I might meet these gorgeous girls, and that event takes place in here. But occasionally, the Lisa-ness of God is before me. And it reveals to me that my eye is not in me, but my eye is between Lisa and me. And I find there's more of me, and it includes the connection to Lisa. Are you still with me? We tend to live our lives as if our I is located in here. And we go through our lives thinking, well, if I give this to Matthew, then I'm down something. Or if I say something nice about Tourette, if I say his piano playing is extraordinary, unless that somehow reflects back on me, I won't say it. Because I feel like I've lost something. The power of this unbroken Monday morning thing and the fragility of this revelation. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens tore open and there was a voice, "This is my son." It happens. It happens. Such moments happen. You can't make them happen, but when they happen, there's more of you. We had a staff meeting this week, and I said to the people, you know, if you could embrace errors, it sounds ridiculous, really. If you could embrace your errors, we'd all learn. Every time there was a mistake, this would be a moment of learning and stretching and so on. But we spend all of our time covering our ass. When a mistake is made, the first thing we go into is, well, I didn't get the memo. If you hadn't have asked me in this particular way, well, you know, I would have delivered what was needed. Well, how can you expect me to do this when there's so much pressure? Blah, blah, blah. Cover your ass, cover your ass, cover your ass. Because you're living in Monday morning. Imagine the freedom of being able to say to somebody, oops. Oops, and even, I'm sorry, I could have done that better. When did you last say it? When did you have the security ever to say to somebody, oops? Oops can be the beginning of life. Covering your ass just in trenches. I'm living in Monday morning. So after the heavens were torn open, Jesus finds himself in the wilderness. The barren place. With a tormented heart, I'm sure. Everybody who knows the presence of God knows remoteness from God. Our life with God is lived between the potential and actual. Love can't sustain the immediacy. It just can't. I've got a joke, but I think I probably shouldn't crack it. I'll tidy it up. A little kid goes to his father and says, "Dad, what's the difference between potential and actual?" And the father says, "Go and ask your mother if she'd sleep with a complete stranger for $1 million. Kid came back and said, "Mama, do it for a mil." He said, "Well, go and ask your sister the same thing." He came back, "Yeah, my sister would do it too." So "Well, go and ask your brother the same thing." He came back and said, "My brother would do it as well." And Dad said, "Well, you see, potentially we have $3 million. Actually, we've got three immoral persons." Our life moves between potential and actual, and we who know God know remoteness from God. We who know occasionally, we sing, "There is none like you," and it suddenly hits me, Lisa, that there's none like you. This woman, who is the strength behind John, who doesn't seem to claim the credit for anything, but these two lived in Mount Druitt for 10 years on $28,000 a year. Sorry to embarrass you, this is just coming off the cuff. And because they wanted to live amongst the poor and they wanted to have less money than the poor, and they ran out of their lounge room what amounted to a wayside chapel. And they would have hardly had a night in 10 years where domestic violence didn't come knocking on their door at 2 a.m. And they just lived with it, and they paid a price for it, and they never whinged about it. And it damn near killed them. This was not romantic. But when I met them, I thought, there is none like you. Occasionally that happens. But that immediacy cannot be sustained. And so we find ourselves in the wilderness where there is barrenness of heart. That's not a bad thing. That's just inevitable. That is just the way it is. We move from intimacy to longing. That's how it works. It is only the impact, the intention of an addict to think that you can hit intimacy and keep it. That's the impulse of an addict. The truth is, it will be lost. It will be. It has to be. It will be whether you like it or not. The orchestra does not continue to play. What happens after this incredible revelation is we usually turn it into a rule or something that we can be expert in and give lectures upon. But when you are, you know, when the heavens are torn open and you see the presence of God that comes to you in this Indian bloke, when that happens, there's no rules. There's no experts. There's just, wow, I'm in awe. And it's lost. And then we find ourselves in the wilderness. We have a talent for turning the sacred into a set of rules. But in the presence of the sacred, there are no rules. But eventually we find ourselves expert. And we live in the potential and actual, like ordinary relationships. Occasionally Robin, even though I've been married to the same girl for 47 years, occasionally she surprises me. She surprises me. Who would think there would be a surprise left after 47 years? You know, every day of our married life, Robin has the first shower. I always thought that was because I'm lazier. But a while back, I had to leave early and I said to her, do you mind if I have the first shower? And she said, no, that's fine. She said, I usually try to get in first because if you're going somewhere, I don't want you to kiss a smelly old lady on the way out. I didn't know that. And she's been doing this for 47 years. There's a surprise still. But every now and then I get through this surprise and then eventually I become more and more expert. And I can even get to the point where I offer her advice on how she could be a better wife. There is no fate worse than being the smartest person in the room. There is no fate worse than being the smartest person in the room. You are living in Monday. And so we live in this potential actual thing. But let me tell you something. We know remoteness from God, but we do not know the absence of God, because the present one is always present. It's just that sometimes we're not there. So Jesus gave us simple stuff that would have potential to tear the heavens open so that you might for a minute stop trying to cover your ass. And you might just for a minute be drawn into a place where you hear the voice from heaven that says, "You are mine and I am well pleased with you. Stop trying to cover your ass because I already know you're good. Stop trying to make a case which is already proven. You're proven because I love you already." And all the kind of time you spend justifying your case is wasted because you are already justified because I've said you're okay. You're okay. You were born okay and you're okay. I love you. And so this simple little meal can be nothing. Like all acts of love, it looks insignificant. Like when Robin goes shopping and she buys my favourite little bits and pieces and you find them in the cupboard. That looks insignificant, doesn't it? But it's an act of love which is breathtaking. You get a little note from your grandchild. When Robin was six, she got a note from one of our granddaughters that said, "Get well quick, Papa can't cook." How precious is that? Like all acts of love, insignificant. You could overlook it in a minute. This is just bread and grape juice. You can overlook this. At the same time, the heavens could be torn open and you could hear the voice that says, "It's okay. It's okay, stop fighting. You're good. I'm with you." Through him, with him and in him, all glory and honour is yours, Almighty Father. So come forward as you're ready and take a little piece of bread and dip it into this cup and maybe the heavens will be torn open and you will hear the voice that says, "You're okay." Then return to your seat as you're ready.